Have you ever tried to find somebody's house without directions? It can be a nightmare. You can drive around and around and around aimlessly for hours trying to find something on the basis of landmarks. It's a whole lot easier if you have the exact name of the street, the exact house number, and you have directions telling you exactly where to turn left, where to turn right, when to go straight. The same is true for finding a loving partner. The more specific directions you have about the person that you're looking for, the more likely you are to find them. So let's talk a little bit about realistic expectations. If you don't already have a piece of paper and something to write with, please stop the tape and get it now. Assuming that you're ready to start writing, what I would like you to do right now is to make up what I call a wish list. This is a list of all the qualities you're looking for in an ideal romantic partner. Now, I want you to be very specific. If you look at the ads that people run in the personal ad sections of newspapers, you'll see that there's a common denominator. Most of these ads are too vague. I'd like you to be very specific with your wish list. Let me give you an example. If you look at these personal ads, you'll see that everybody advertises for somebody honest. Nobody ever advertises for a liar. But the question is, how honest do you want this person to be? Do you want them to be 100% honest? That means they tell you everything, no matter how much it hurts your feelings. Or, are you like most people? Would you rather that they be 50% honest? That means they tell you all the nice things, but they keep the bad things to themselves. So put down specifically how honest you want this person to be. Same thing for educational level. Would you really be happy with somebody who has a doctorate, or would you be happier with somebody with a kindergarten diploma? Same thing for intelligence. Nobody ever advertises for a dummy. But wouldn't you really be happier with somebody who's on your educational level rather than somebody twice as intelligent as you are? So I want you to very specifically describe the person that you would like to spend the rest of your life with. What kind of personality would they have? Be very specific. Would they be a morning person or a night person? Would they be a high-energy person or a low-energy person? What do they like to do for fun in their relaxation, in their leisure time? What do they like to do for fun? Do they have certain hobbies that they like to engage in? Write those down. Do they like sports? If so, which ones? And are they participants in those sports, or are they spectators in those sports? Do they like to dance? If so, what kind of dancing do they like to do? If you like to do Scottish dancing and they like to do ballroom dancing, there's no compatibility there. And what do they like to do to make money? What kind of job do they have, or what kind of profession do they have? Or are they independently wealthy so that they don't have to work for a living? What kind of income do they make each year? Now, this sounds like a very crass quality to look for, but let's face it. If this is a lasting relationship, you may have to live off of that income for the rest of your life. Do they own any property, and if so, how much? Again, if you marry this person, you may have to live on this property for the rest of your life. Does your ideal romantic partner have any children? If so, how many? What ages? What sexes? Do they have to be open to having more children? If so, how many? And more importantly, how soon do they want to have these children? If the biological clock is ticking for you right now and you want to have a children within the next 2 years, and they'd like to have the children sometime vaguely in the future, there may not be any compatibility. Same thing for pets. How many pets do they have, if any? What kinds? What sexes? And do they have to be open to your pets? Or are you willing to give up your cat if your ideal romantic partner is allergic to cat fur? What kind of personal habits would your ideal partner have? Some people call these vices. Do they drink? If so, how much? Do they do drugs? If so, how often and which ones? Do they smoke? If so, how much? In addition to that, what race do they belong to? Or is there an ideal race or races that they would belong to? Do they belong to a particular religion? And how devout are they in that religion? What is their political affiliation? Are they a Democrat, Republican, Communist? Now, if these questions are not crucial to you, if you really don't care one way or the other, leave it blank. Otherwise, add these qualities to your wish list. The idea is to make your wish list as long and as complete as possible. Other questions you might want to ask pertain to how old are they, or is there an ideal age range? Geographical location. Do they live in your town or city? Or do they live in Beverly Hills or in Timbuktu? Where would your ideal romantic partner live? And don't forget physical characteristics. How tall would your ideal romantic partner be? And be specific. How many feet, how many inches, or is there a range of heights that you would be attracted to ideally? What kind of body build would your ideal romantic partner have? Would they have curves in certain places, or would they have muscles in certain places? If so, write it down. And things like hair, length of hair, style of hair, color of hair, texture of hair. Do they even have any hair? If it's important, write it down. If not, leave it off your wish list. Same thing for eyes, nose, lips, cheekbones. Do they have a Kirk Douglas dimple on their chin? If that's what turns you on, write it down. Skin color. Do they have the deep copper tone tan, or do they have the pale face look? Clothing. Are they the casual jeans and tennis shoes type, or are they the more formal tuxedo evening gown type? Again, the more specific you are in describing your ideal romantic partner, the better. Stop the tape and continue writing. When you've completed your wish list, turn the tape back on. I'm now going to play a very dirty trick on you. I'm going to ask you to take your wish list and take your pen or pencil in hand and put a big X through your wish list. No matter how much it hurts, cross out your wish list. You know, I've been giving people this exercise to do, thousands of people over the years, and the thing I notice is a lot of single people really get excited writing down their wish list. It really is a wonderful thing to fantasize about your ideal romantic partner. The problem is sometimes people have such a long list that there are exactly three people in their entire city that have all the qualities on their list. Now, if you live in a large city like New York or San Francisco or Chicago, what are the odds that you're ever going to meet a person that has all the qualities on your list? And even if you did meet that person, what would be the odds that you would have everything on their list? You know, there's a famous story about the guy who was looking for the perfect woman. And he was a wealthy guy, so he didn't have to work for a living, so he spent full time looking for this perfect woman. He went all over the world. He went to 6 of the 7 continents. He didn't go to Antarctica because he's not attracted to penguins. And after 40 years, he found her, the perfect woman. There was only one problem. She was looking for the perfect man. You see, that is the problem. The choosier we are, the pickier we are, the more likely we are to be attracted to somebody who is equally picky, equally choosy. So the longer the list of qualities that you have on your wish list, the fewer people you'll ever meet that will have all those qualities. And once you do meet one of these people with everything you want, the odds are you're going to be missing something on their list. What I would like you to do instead is to have more realistic expectations. Instead of minimizing your choices with this long wish list, I'd like you to maximize your choices. And the way you do it is by doing your first homework assignment. Now, if you don't have paper and pen, please get them now and stop the tape. Assuming that you have paper and pen, I'd like you to write down in large numbers, pardon me, in large letters, homework assignment number 1. You see, I taught school for 10 years, and I found out that the people who did not write down the homework never did it. And I don't want you to have that excuse. I'd like you to write down as homework number 1 to take your wish list and boil it down to a non-negotiable list. Take that long wish list and cut it down, condense it down to a hardcore non-negotiable list. Now here's how you do it. You go down the wish list item by item. At each item you stop and you ask yourself this question. If I were to meet somebody who is missing this particular quality, would I be happier staying single for the rest of my life? If the answer is no, cross it off the list. It doesn't belong on your non-negotiable list. The non-negotiable list is the qualities that you have to have, otherwise you'd be happier staying single for the rest of your life. Now, when you create your non-negotiable list, you have to be ruthless. You have to get rid of the qualities that you can do without so that you're only left with the hardcore non-negotiables. Let me give you a few examples. 75% of Americans don't smoke. And typically, when I have a class do a non-negotiable list, most of the people in the class write down that they want a non-smoker. Now, that's okay for the wish list. The problem is if you put it on the non-negotiable list, you're immediately eliminating 25% of all the wonderful people in the world. In other words, 25% of all the millionaires smoke, and they're eliminated from the possibility of a loving relationship with you. 25% of physically beautiful people smoke and are down the drain. 25% of honest, intelligent, fun people with wonderful sense of humor, 25% of these people are lost forever if they smoke. That's the problem with your non-negotiable list. Every single one of those items is eliminating large numbers of wonderful people. They could have everything you could possibly hope for, somebody that you could be happy with for the rest of your life, but they just have that one quality on the list that's missing, and you cross them off your list. Now, if you're adamant about this, if you're convinced that you would be happier spending the rest of your life being single than being with a wonderful, loving person who smokes, then fine, put non-smoker on the non-negotiable list. My recommendation, though, would be instead to put down considerate smoker. In other words, this person would go out of their way to blow smoke in a different direction from you. If you think you could be happy with a wonderful person who is a considerate smoker, put down considerate smoker on your non-negotiable list rather than non-smoker. Same thing holds true for height. Very often, women in my classes put down that they want a man at least 5'11". Now, that doesn't sound unreasonable. You know, you're not asking for a professional basketball player. But let's be realistic and look at the statistics. The average man in the United States is 5'9 or 5'10". So if you put down that the man has to be at least 5'11", you've just lost 60% of all the wonderful men in the world down the drain. Another good example is geographical location. Most people want to date somebody close by. You know, ideally the person would be down the street. You wouldn't even have to get on your car or your bicycle to go over to see them. Unfortunately, if you only date people who live on your block, you have a very limited number of people to choose from. If you want to maximize your choices, you have to give yourself a larger geographical radius. So, for example, if you want to limit yourself to your particular town or city, calculate how many people that potentially gives you to meet. And then ask yourself the question, would I be willing to drive an extra 10 miles or 15 miles or 20 miles or 30 miles or more? How many more people can I meet? To give you an example, if you were to live in San Francisco, California, you would start off with 700,000 people that you could potentially meet if your non-negotiable list says they have to live in my city. If you were willing to expand throughout the San Francisco Bay Area, that would give yourself 5.8 million people to choose from. If you were willing to include all of California, now you would have 28 million people to choose from. And if you were willing to date somebody anywhere in the United States, you would have close to 250 million people to choose from. I hope you get my drift. The larger the geographical area you give yourself, the more potential partners there are out there, the more wonderful people you have to choose from, and the more picky you can be on other qualities. If you want to limit a person to a very small geographical area, you may have a very limited number of people to choose from, and the likelihood becomes great that you will be unhappy, that you'll choose the wrong person, or that you'll wind up being by yourself. So maximize your choices. The way you do that is by taking that wish list and boiling it down to a non-negotiable list. Be very, very careful that your non-negotiable list is not too short. We've already talked about the perils of having a list which is too long, but equally disastrous is a list which is too short. Some people make the mistake of having too few things on the non-negotiable list, and they wind up falling in love with the wrong person. One-third of all marriages in the United States end in divorce, and many of the marriages that continue for a lifetime are unhappy marriages. The reason is because people fall in love and marry the wrong person. The secret to having a happy, loving, lasting relationship is to be clear of exactly what you need in order to be happy, and to hold out, be tenacious, and hold out until you meet somebody who has every quality that you need on your non-negotiable list in order to be happy. Don't count on changing the person. You know, those are the fatal, famous last words, I'll change him or I'll change her. Now, this is something that tends to have to do with women more so than men. A lot of women have what I call the Florence Nightingale complex. They're going to take this loser over here and they're going to change him. They're going to rescue him. So they're going to take a person who has a chronic drinking problem and get them to stop drinking. Or they're going to take somebody who's never been able to hold down a steady job and they're going to get him to change so that he becomes a good, hardworking, responsible person. Or they're going to take a person who has a cocaine problem, or a person who's the strong, silent type and doesn't know how to share his feelings, doesn't know how to communicate. Somehow I'm going to get him to open up to me. Now, I'm not saying that men don't have this problem also, but it seems like women, more so than men, have this problem. There are a lot of best-selling books available in the bookstore and in the library on this very subject. One of them, which is really famous, is Women Who Love Too Much. Another is Smart Women, Foolish Choices. There are literally millions of single men and single women who make the mistake of falling in love with the wrong person. Now, this can happen because of one of two reasons. Either A, their non-negotiable list isn't accurate, isn't complete enough, or B, they fall in love with a person before they find out whether or not that person has the qualities on the non-negotiable list. Let's look at the first possibility. How do you know whether or not your non-negotiable list is too short? Very simple. What you have to do is go over your past romantic relationships and write down the qualities that you feel ruin that relationship that your partner had. Now, in this particular case, it's not important whatever negative qualities you have, because right now we're talking about the non-negotiable list. So we want you to prepare a list of all the qualities in the opposite sex which you have found in the past ruins the relationship for you. Those are qualities that you have to account for on your non-negotiable list. You can't count on changing people. You know, they did a study on New Year's resolutions, and they found out that 96% of all New Year's resolutions get broken by January 15th. In other words, you have less than a 4% chance of changing any quality about yourself. Now, if you think it's hard to change yourself, it's even 10 times harder to change somebody else. So here's the rule of thumb. Whatever negative qualities your partner has before the marriage, chances are they're going to continue to have these negative qualities after the marriage, plus a few more that they kept secret from you. So if you don't love this person exactly the way they are before the wedding, you're probably going to hate them after the wedding. So the first step is to make sure that your non-negotiable list is long enough so that every quality that you need in order to be happy is on that list. Go over your past relationships. Be very, very clear about the qualities that turned you on, the qualities that caused you to love this person, and the qualities that caused friction and strife and anger and resentment and ruin the relationship. And make sure you take cognizance of all these qualities in your non-negotiable list. Once you have that non-negotiable list, the next step is to interrogate people to make sure that they have the qualities on your list. In other words, don't give yourself permission to fall in love until after you're sure that they have every single quality on your list. What you have to do is ask what I call the killer questions. The killer questions are questions that if they answer even one of these incorrectly, it kills the relationship. You don't even give them your telephone number. Now, of course, your non-negotiable list should give you a long list of killer questions to ask, but make sure you have the following questions on your list in addition. Number one killer question, are you single? Don't assume that when you meet somebody at a singles dance or a bar or a party that they're single. Ask them, are you single? Find out their marital status. Find out their romantic status. They may be legally single, but emotionally they may be already in a couple. They may already be committed to somebody. They may already be in love with somebody. So find out if they're truly single. If they tell you that they're separated, the follow-up question is, have you moved out yet? If they haven't moved out yet, still living with their spouse, I personally would not think it would be wise to fall in love with that person. The other follow-up question for separated people is, have you filed for divorce? If they haven't filed for divorce, there's still that strong possibility that they will attempt to reconcile. So don't fall in love with the wrong person. Find out if they're single. Find out if they're in love with somebody. And also find out when their last romantic relationship ended. If it turns out that it ended only a short time ago, find out if they're still in love with that person. Find out if they still are carrying hostility and resentment and hurt. In other words, avoid love on the rebound. Don't get involved romantically with somebody who hasn't recovered from the last relationship. Another killer question is, do you want to have children? How many children do you want to have? And when do you want to have these children? Often I come across women who want to have children. They fall madly in love with a man, and then they find out that he's had a vasectomy and can't give them any children. This is tragic, and it's also irrational. Before you fall in love with somebody, find out, make sure that they have all the qualities on your non-negotiable list. Then and only then do you give yourself permission to fall in love with them. Another question that I often get asked is, how soon should I ask these personal questions? Because people sometimes get offended if you get too personal too soon. Granted, there is a risk. The less time that you've known somebody, the riskier it is to get personal and ask these killer questions. On the other hand, if you wait too long to ask these personal questions, you run the risk of falling in love with them. You know, some people fall in love very, very quickly. Particularly if a person has a number of qualities on your wish list, it's easy to fall madly in love with them, head over heels, before you even know it. Now you're running into a situation where you start asking these killer questions because you're panicking. You're saying to yourself, oh my God, I'm in love with this person. I don't really even know who they are. So you start asking the killer questions, and you find out it's too late. You find out that they're missing some important thing on your non-negotiable list. You know that if you marry this person, you're going to be miserable with them for the rest of your life. But on the other hand, you can't break it off because love is an addiction. And you love this person so much, you have to be with them even though you know that the relationship will never work. This is the tragic situation that many single people find themselves in because they fail to interrogate people to ascertain that they have all the qualities on the non-negotiable list.